Hello and welcome to United We Podcast, brought to you by the United Corpus Christi Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Al Arriola Jr., President and CEO. United We believe in the power of collaboration, the strength of advocacy, and the endless possibilities of growth. From advocating for local businesses to fostering growth opportunities, we're here to ignite conversations that matter. This is United We Podcast. Welcome back, United Chamber family and friends, to our podcast, United We Podcast. Today, we are joined by Marisol Ramirez, who serves currently as our General Chair for Leadership Corpus Christi, and also her day job is at CSA Marketing, if you might know it otherwise as Concrete Street. Marisol, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Well, first, before we get into thanking you and all your work that you've engaged with the Chamber on the leadership front, wanted to maybe just get to know Marisol a little bit first. If you want to tell us a little bit about the story of Marisol.
Sure.
Go for it.
So I have been in marketing or my executive for about 8 years. I actually started off back for one of the CSA companies at Hurricane Alley. Okay. As my first big girl job. I came in and I took over their sales and marketing piece of it and then just kind of grew from there. And I've gotten to work with other water parks, other resorts. Then I went into like banking right before doing marketing for a bank, Gulf Coast Federal Credit Union, worked with Jeremy there. He was amazing. Got to learn so much more about that. I totally bumped the mic and got to see that side of things, did a little bit of nonprofit work, wanted to do something really meaningful. And now I got recruited to come back, what it feels like coming back home to Concrete Street, Hurricane Alley, Brewster Street, Blue Frog, and just be
kind
at
of,
home.
Kind of came full circle for you?
It did. It comes back as like getting to be a part of the team or like supervisory team that I worked for once upon a time.
And did you study marketing?
I actually studied marine bio.
Go figure.
Yeah, I really like dolphins. I really like brains. I have some photos I'll have to show you later.
Well, but look, the reason why I asked is you do seem to have a kind of instinct for it.
Yeah.
And you've talked about your career evolution, but marketing itself has evolved a lot. You've changes in how people communicate, where they communicate, the way they communicate. You want to maybe share some of those experiences that you're seeing, like with social media and how that's impacted your job?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I've always had maybe a chip on my shoulder is that I have worked in marketing and I don't have a marketing degree. So to me, it had to come with continuous education. I'm always listening to a podcast about marketing, looking at upcoming trends, scrolling on TikTok, seeing what somebody else is doing, seeing how we can do it better, how those really big companies, how maybe a Coke or a Pepsi or a Red Bull is doing something and how I can translate that to a venue of our size or a company of our size, always striving to do the next cool thing. And I think that's what keeps me on the edge. When I was at Hurricane Alley, like I was brought in to do sales and I was like, hey, but I could do this thing or that thing better. So always being an advocate for yourself has worked out really great for me.
Yeah.
But part of it is like if you want to play in the game, you have to be in the game. Fair. And we were the first company, I mean, before 16 Candles, before Coca-Cola, before anyone else to be on Snapchat back when Snapchat was a thing.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. Yeah.
Back when Snapchat was a thing, we were like the very first company that have an actual company profile and start to do things in that way. And then we saw other people follow. We got to, as a local water park, got to win international awards.
That's cool.
Because of our work and being just so tied into it. And we strive to do that today. We continue to be, try to be funny. Not necessarily trying to go viral because that's a double-sided sword.
Sure, sure.
But really trying to continue to be out there and being tied into the American Advertising Federation, tied into Del Mar Small Business Center, seeing all the things that they're doing so we can translate that into our businesses.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And I've been working in the Chamber world for about 14 years. And early on, there was a hesitation to play in that space of social media. And most didn't even have Facebook accounts or to your point, Snapchat or TikTok now that that's a thing. But
for as long as it'll let us be a thing, right?
Well, right. And so if you have your accounts, use them while you can, right? Where I saw this, that it was almost like this reluctancy to give the brand a personality, and it was almost like it was the way businesses were viewing it was like it was carved out for people and not for businesses. But you mentioned a lot of the great success that y'all's businesses had in this space. Is there something that almost went viral? I know that's our question.
No. So we recently had at Barista Street, we had the Mexican OT, which is a up and coming artist. And I would say he's there, right? We sold out in a matter of like 24 hours.
Wow.
Insane numbers for us. And he did a backflip on our stage. And I was like, this can go one way or another. We're going to have a loss in our hands. But luckily, he landed that backflip and it gave us the opportunity to post that. And it just got crazy numbers. But part of it is knowing who you are in social media. So if you're going to be in social media today and you're going to play in that field, what we do is we create personas, right? Like I know exactly what my demographics are for each one of the companies. We don't market Hurricane Alley the same way that I would market Concrete Street.
Fair.
Hurricane Alley is fun, is super. It's a little broad, just a little like Islander feel.
Gotcha.
And we can lean into that and it still has to be super family friendly. Concrete Street, I'm allowed to be a little bit edgier. I'm able to drop a cuss word here and there as long as it's like not too bad.
In good taste.
Right? Done eloquently, if that can be said. And you adjust the tone to it. Like we have a y'all meter in our office. We want it to be y'all, but not to yeehaw.
Okay.
Right? So all of that matters for Brewster Street a lot because we have. While we are predominantly country, we have artists that come across all kinds of genres. So we want to make sure that we're able to promote them in a Texas way that is not too, like, I don't know, too yeehaw.
Yeah, too
right?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned all the businesses under the umbrella, and I appreciate that your perspective on this is that, yeah, you have to market to an audience a certain way who might be interested in going to the water park, might have a whole different perspective in going to Mexican OT.
Yeah, it's
concert.
Probably a little bit, very little overlapping demographic.
getting into your work experience, thank you for sharing all your marketing wisdom on this, especially a podcast that we're talking about social media and social marketing.
Yeah.
Has there been a particular project that you favored more than another or something you had a whole lot of fun in doing?
Oh, I still have a whole lot of fun with the water park. The water park holds a special place in my heart. But being able to see a huge concert, like over 6,000 people come in for spring break on the coast, it's huge. So being able to roll out the marketing for that, working with artist management hand in hand and saying, we want it to look like this and we want to do this. Those big shows, like, they're so much fun. We have three of them coming up.
Okay.
We have a partnership with the Island University, TAMUCC. We're going to have
ex-ambassadors
for
ISFEST. Yeah, that's cool.
And also, like, getting to work on that side of it, of like production and also trying to align up food trucks and trying to do all kinds of things is really cool. After that, we have Randy Rogers with Flatline Cavalry, and they're coming up in about a month, and that's going to be another huge turnout. And then even after that, we have Iration. So you go from like, I don't know, some sort of electronic pop to country to like reggae, right? So the feel, the marketing, the communication, all that gets to change. So it's an ever-changing brand.
And a little bit of everything for anyone, right? Like, you know, if you don't like this, well, you might like this, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we're working on a couple of rock and rolls. I feel like as of lately, everybody knows Concrete Street for their rock shows. And right now, we're like, we're working on it. There's some really cool tours we're trying to get tapped into.
Well, without saying too much, I know you guys bring in artists and mm-hmm. some artists are maybe more particular than others about.
All of our artists are amazing. I cannot tell you the weirdest thing I've seen on a writer.
That's where I was going with this. Without throwing anybody in the bus.
I'll tell you who's amazing and like unexpectedly so. Never having worked with rock artists. I always thought like my like metal people were going to be super hardcore. I picture like Ozzy eating the head of a bat. Like it's going to be wild back there. The kindest, the sweetest, the most thoughtful, the most caring, the most like thankful for like everything for them. Like they were so awesome. All of our rock shows have been Well, outstanding.
That's cool. So the reason why I was asking this is, I don't even think I've put this out in the podcast in the ether, so to speak, is once upon a time, I dabbled in the music industry myself.
Uh-huh.
I helped raise some funds for a record label, and I was around artists a lot of rap artists. And you have these assumptions, but most of these guys...
What was your rap name?
I didn't have a rap name, but we had definitely some artists, high profilers like Paul Wall, Chameleon, or people that were always coming around the studio. And you had these assumptions about how they're going to behave or what they're all about. To your point, the nicest, almost most church-going type of guys you can imagine.
Super humble, super thankful for whatever little thing that they've asked for.
And just creative and happy and helpful. I mean,
they're there to have a good time just as much as they are.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Well, thank you for sharing all your work experiences. I do want to make some time to talk about leadership, Corpus Christi, which you've been very engaged in. As I mentioned, you're a general chair. Steering column applications just wrapped up, and we're now in the next phase of actual applications for the class. You want to share some of those particulars?
Yeah. So Leadership Corpus Christi is a program here at the Chamber of Commerce that allows people who are already leaders in their own space to grow and learn more about how they can better serve their community. We have a servant leadership and community trusteeship concept, for lack of a better word, right? And that's what our curriculum focuses on. So through this 10-month program, you get to learn about what does education look like in the Coastal Bend, what does government look like in the Coastal Bend, economic development, diversity, so on and so forth. And at the end, you get to wrap up and learn about how you can be a servant leader and what does that look like in your space. It could mean running for office, being the next mayor, being the next city council person. I mean,
which a lot of them were.
State Representative Todd Hunter
was
part of Leadership Corpus Christi. I don't remember his class number. Don't quiz me. There's a lot of them. And then he got to be general chair. So it's a really fantastic experience. We all know that, like, being adults, it's hard to make friendships and friendships that can last you a lifetime. And you get to be put in and go through this program for 10 months with 29 other individuals, and you come out with 29 advocates for you in whatever you want your goals to be. And it just happens naturally. We call it the magic of leadership.
Yeah.
You don't know why you're supposed to be there until you are there. And so I encourage everyone to apply.
Well, and I appreciate you sharing that, because everybody has lifelong friends, so to speak, you know, friends you grew up with, your neighbors, your friends, your mom, your parents' friends, kids, and all
college
that.
College friends.
College
and after college,
friends.
It gets a little.
Well, there you go. And you learn a little bit maybe more about who you are. And then when you experience leadership with other like-minded folks, you're like, hey, this is my tribe. We can do something together, great together. Well, I appreciate you sharing that there's a lot to learn in the community. Is there something you learned about yourself in particular that you were surprised about or took away from saying, oh, you know what, I otherwise might not have known this about myself?
I got to go through the program while I was really young. I was 23.
Oh, wow.
And I got to go through it, and I thought that being a leader was being the loudest person in the room.
Fair enough.
Or necessarily being the one that was like, I'm going to dabble in everything. I'm going to be part of every board. I'm going to be part of every organization. And what leadership really taught me is that I can sit back and take it all in and make my voice more impactful whenever it is that I choose to speak. And people are more willing to listen. Also, the power of saying no. Because if I am giving my time and my effort into 30 causes, it gets diluted, right? Where I can be really impactful in different ways. And that's a lesson that we try to teach all of them, even continuing now, like, you're going to graduate from this program and you have boards and everybody wanting you to come and serve because you have a great understanding of our community. But being able to figure out what your why is and what aligns with you and what are your personal values and how we can help you get there.
Right. It's almost that notion of being good at everything or being great at something, right?
Yeah.
And to your point is that when you really identify your passion, well, your own, that organization is only going to be that much well served when that passion is fed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those passions can be ever growing. Like, I can come sit here. I mean, this is ultimately my last year with leadership, right? So I give it this time, and I felt like I actually have done as good of a job as I could have. And then I have the opportunity to take this talent and time and treasure somewhere else and do something really cool for a couple of years. And then that can change, right?
Or maybe you run for office too or something.
I would love to run someone's campaign. Maybe not the front face of it.
Yeah. Well, right. The year, this has been your year of your general chairmanship. Thomas Cronin's coming in next year. Do you have any advice, any words of wisdom to share with him going into next year? I'm sure you've already shared them with maybe for the public to consume right now.
No, I think Thomas is going to be fantastic, right? When you come in through the process of being chair, you are looking at while you're still serving as chair-elect, you're looking at the people who are serving with you. And I got to identify Thomas, who was actually my point of contact, or I was his point of contact in the program. So we knew each other fairly well. And I got to see his talent, and I got to see, like, everything that he brings to the table. My advice for him is to just, like, keep looking forward, because there's always the next session. There's always the next event, and all you can do is, like, move forward. But, like, enjoy it. I think you think of, like, it's a 10-month program, and while you're in the class or while you're looking at it from the outside in, you're like, oh, my God, it's still going. But this is it. We have a huge privilege, right? There's over 1,500 alumni, and only I'm the 52nd chair. I sit in a very small group, very privileged group to get here and say, I'm the chair of the second longest running program in the state of Texas, the third in the nation. It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
So enjoy it.
Right. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. And it is very competitive process for the applicants that are coming to the class. You don't always necessarily get in on the first go, right? But is there any words of wisdom or advice you would give to folks that are interested in applying? And
yeah, have an alumni review your application. There is a scoring committee, and the selection committee works in one way. It completely removes who you are. We don't know your name. We don't know your ties into your community unless you tell us it. We don't know who your employer is. Your employer might be someone amazing who does great things for the community and should be, I don't know, a part of this program naturally or fits
sure,
like a natural
I know
fit.
What you're saying, yeah.
But like, talk about you and your personal impact and how you can help our community. I think when you sit there and you look at your application, it's a daunting application. There's open-ended questions and you're expected to write essays almost. So like, talk to your friends and family. Have them remind you of the cool things that you have done that set you apart. Brag about yourself. And when you think that you've bragged too much, brag a little bit more.
Right. Well, and I think I read between the lines there too. It's don't necessarily worry about who's backing you, but your own individual merits can stand hold water, right?
And I got to go through it super young. So that gives me a different perspective, right? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be everything that you've done, but you can write about everything you want to do, because ultimately this should be a catalyst to helping you get there.
Yeah. This year, the team, the leadership group took on some projects. Some really were out there a lot. I mean, you guys were really busy. Is there one in particular that you were interested in, fascinated by, or excited about?
I was not as excited to get a pie in the face.
Cool. I was going
to
go there.
How they picked out their projects was really cool to me, as we got to talk about like what means something to you. I don't believe in giving you a project and making you all work on it when you have no tie to it. So they identified things that meant something to that. The Habitat for Humanity, they had a gala at a hangar, and I don't think that's something that our community has seen before.
I don't think I've ever seen.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And they got to get helicopter tours of the bay. It was super cool. It was super successful and a really good way to get Habitat for Humanity in front of audiences that maybe didn't know it, right?
Sure.
We also had a pickleball tournament, and talk about just like following those trends, right? And they got to work with the Boys and Girls Club on that and create a mural for them that ultimately will help beautify not only the Boys and Girls Club, but the community surrounding it.
Do they know what that mural is going to look like yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but okay. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, yeah, please do. Well, headed into, like you said, you're wrapping up. This is you've been a servant leader to this program. It's a time commitment. I mean, let's not sugarcoat
it,
right?
Just like 4 years.
Yeah. Well, and then also just every year in, year out, the time put into putting together these sessions.
Yes.
Is there a session that you favor more than others, or something that you really enjoy?
I absolutely love diversity. Diversity can be perceived as a super dirty word or
it's
a chaotic
word.
Yeah, it could be divisive, right? So my goal with diversity is less, was never to come into it and create like a sticker shock or a division. Just my goal was to showcase the different faces of the Coastal Bend. So we got to have a religious panel and have five different religions that you may have not heard of that are living, breathing in the Coastal Bend.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to convert you.
Sure.
I'm not trying to get you to change. Just like, here are the Cliff Notes version of their religion, common misconceptions, and how they like to give back to the community.
Right.
So that one was really cool for me.
Well, that is cool. And I'm glad you touched on that, is that those ideologies amongst religions have existed for before that person that is sharing it even, mm-hmm. you know, knew of it. And so, yeah, no, the diversity of thought, diversity of to what you cited earlier about it, it's a political term, diversity, equity, inclusion. Well, it's not like anybody's necessarily expecting anything. It's just more about sharing that information. Yeah.
And that session specifically called diversity, right? It's not equity and inclusion. So my goal is to ultimately bring true to the curriculum that was standing there before me and make sure that I give the different communities in Corpus Christi a voice, or at least familiarize the people with the program, because if you're going to be a leader in our community, that means that you're also leading people of different backgrounds.
Well, and I can assume that you learn a lot when your time in the class, but then also your involvement in SteerComs. Is there something that you otherwise might not have known about, like about the community, that you're like, hey, wow, I learned that today? Or,
you learn something new every time. So the common misconception is that like steering committee is a continuation of the program. It really isn't. It is really those people that have a calling to come back and like give someone the experience that they got. But even in the by nature of it, every session looks a little bit different from year to year. So you get to learn something new and cool. And you're hearing from people that are like really impactful. Yes, we can hear from the mayor, give a, you know, state of the city on a regular basis, but things that she's willing to share in that room are a little bit different. And yes, she'll give you the overview, but she's able to talk about what you can see a little bit different.
Make it more personal than just...
It's way more intimate. It's more of a fireside chat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me see. What else can we talk about? What do you want to talk about? I'm going to say, first and foremost, again, thank you for all your dedication to the program.
Thank you.
We're now sorting out the applications for next year. The applications end when?
The end of April.
And then we're looking at the class selection processes.
We would hope to announce by, I believe, July. We have a past terrace luncheon that we kicked off last year with your help.
Yeah.
And we were able to bring the majority of the chairs that have chaired this program to come back and get involved in a new way.
For a first-time event, it was not bad. I mean, that was well-attended.
Yeah, it was really well-attended. I mean, beyond people who have unfortunately are not with us anymore or have moved away, that was a really great showing. We would love to increase that showing going forward. But I think part of it is being able to just continue to have that connection with them.
That's great. Well, I think we're getting to the minute mark. So is there any mm-hmm. shout-outs you want to throw out to the audience, say some thank yous?
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be possible for me to do this and have an amazing year without the help of my amazing steering committee. I had the pleasure to serve along 13 great individuals who have given me the opportunity to enjoy my year as chair and make the best of it. They're in it day in and day out. They're having meetings with people and making sure that those sessions are pulled through. So thank you to them. We couldn't have done it without them. And of course, our sponsors.
And anyone else?
Maybe you.
No, I appreciate it.
Well, no, ultimately, the foundation board has really helped us and has really helped us move the class along.
Well, and I also wanted to give Sam a shout out for, again, to your point about it takes a very understanding employer to allow for the staff to say, hey, boss, I'm going to go do this real quick, like this podcast. And I know you were dealing with some stuff at work. So I want to personally thank your employer for you know, the flexibility and seeing the value.
Yeah, absolutely.
And having you participate in that program.
So. I think we see the value not only in this program, but in the chamber. He's an active board member and we'll continue to help in any way we can.
Well, Marisol, I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And we will see you again next time.